You're listening to the Virtual Freeway Podcast, hosted by your favorite duo, Asher and Sherriston. Your source for knowledge, tips, and interviews of people around the world taking on flexible work in growing digital space. We hope this podcast helps put you on the path to doing something special and empowers you toward your entrepreneurial spirit. Let's get the journey started.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Virtual Freeway Podcast. This is Asher and I'm with Sherriston, and today we have another guest with us. His name is Gathan Ellis from Gathan Ellis Coaching on Instagram. Gathan, how you doing, man?
I'm good, lads. How are you?
Doing great, just fine. So for those who don't know, Gathan, he's a nutritionist, and he also has clients that he works with in terms of people that are looking to do some weight loss. Gathan also does work with athletes that are looking for nutritionists before maybe a fight, if he's working with boxers or he's working with MMA artists. He's actually has some notable names that some people that he's worked for, like the likes of like Darren Till or Tom Aspinall, who are UFC fighters, and he's also worked with some boxers too, who are notable names as well. So Gathan's on the rise, and Gathan is joining us today to talk about the nutrition business and how he's been able to make everything work out during the pandemic. So I just want to get into the first question. How's everything going in England out there?
I don't think it can get much worse for businesses, to be honest with you. Everywhere's closed. Restaurants, takeaways only. Schools are all shut. It's as non-essential. Shops are all closed. So we've only got the supermarkets all open.
Right.
Other than that, it's very basic, if you like. You're allowed to go out to exercise for an hour a day. With a person from your household or from another household for an hour or something like that. Anyway, one person as a bubble. It's tough. And over January as well, obviously been known as one of the most depressing months of the year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have suffered and have been very vocal that they're suffering, to be honest with you. You see a lot more on social media people saying that to speak up, and the people that there are people around them, sort of thing. So, it's just thinking of them summer days, to be honest with you. Each day is getting closer to the summer. We're in February next week, so that's basically the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned this off air too with the concert in New Zealand, and I think they had a concert for New Year's as well. And like seeing those snaps, I was like, man, this doesn't even feel like real life.
Even in China, have you guys seen that Wuhan post in like on Christmas or New Year's or whatever it was, when they're all like tens of thousands of people partying in Wuhan?
Wasn't it 70,000 or something in one concert, and then we can't even go to see our family. When we had our restrictions to a group of six and a curfew at 10 o'clock, that sounds really good now. that sounds like a really good deal, but at the moment, like, seeing families and stuff like that, and people struggling because of it, and anyone who's living on their own and stuff like that, I really do feel for them. It's not nice.
Yeah, and so just kind of like to add to what we're talking about here, so obviously the pandemic has created a lot of struggles and opportunities for a lot of people. I just wanted to talk a little bit about your business, Gathan, in terms of like how you've been working with your clients during the pandemic. And then if you have any digital products and like how that process works and how you get people, I guess, to meet their nutritional goals.
Excuse me. So I started my business, first of all, in the first lockdown. So I was working as a chef in a restaurant, and I got obviously put on furlough, and then we weren't sure what was going on. And being a big fan of MMA, big fan of cooking, I kind of put two and two together. I'd already been starting doing nutrition courses and stuff like that, so I knew my foot was going in the door. And I remember having a conversation with my girlfriend, and we both said, what have I got to lose? The worst can happen is I go back to the restaurant when it reopens. The best can happen is obviously it becomes a business, and it becomes a sustainable business over the future. And if I can build it now whilst, I mean, still having a foot in the door in the job in the chef as well, it can't possibly go wrong. So I started off doing my own little thing, doing helping a couple of people. One of the semi-pro footballers, one of my first clients, I mean, started working with him, started gaining a little bit of traction on social media. And then obviously worked with Dan and Till. So obviously, as you can imagine, my traction started increasing on social media quite quickly, and my name was starting to, I could feel like it was out there sort of thing. And then I just grabbed the bull by the horns, if you like, and just did the best I can, and then took more courses to learn about running a business, because I didn't have a clue how to run a business. I mean, it was, every day was learning. I was like, why am I losing clients here? What have I done wrong there? You're trying to understand your own business, but you're trying to understand their needs as well. So I've had to adapt a lot in the last 12 months. I'd like to say at this very moment, I'm happy, very happy where I am and where I've got to in such short time, to be honest with you. And helping, doing my goal this year is to help over 100 clients. So that's not work with 100 clients. I want to have achieved a goal with 100 different clients. So I could work with 200, 50% rate that I've actually got their goal sort of thing. But my success rate will be much higher than that. I can assure you, we'll go above and beyond to make sure that everyone's satisfied with what they're given. And what they need, to be honest with you, because every person's different, and it takes a week or two for me to understand their body. And especially with females as well, when I work with females, with their cycle and stuff, you've got to understand that side of it. And a lot of PTs and coaches will not be open about that and won't speak and go, where are you on your cycle? How far in? So if they're going to bloat next week and they're going to feel scared of getting on the scales, you need to reassure them, saying, listen, it's just water weight. You're going to be fine. You can have a big drop following week because where you are in your cycle sort of thing. So a lot of honest conversations as well. And being able to, I think a lot of people are scared to put a value on their service, scared of putting, am I worth that? And limiting their own beliefs. And that's one thing that I think people should be more open about, is believing in more in themselves and believing, like, middle of a pandemic, to start a business and then to quit my job as a chef to be doing it full time now. And as long as your mind's in it and you're focused, I think there's no need to doubt yourself at all. Even on that, when you lose a client, the way I see it now is, if I lose a client, it's an opportunity for another client more committed to come back in and get their goals. So any person that leaves, and I say they'll never be leave on bad terms or anything, it's just another opportunity for someone else to come in and get their goals that they might be more committed, or they might be more ready than that person. It's been good, and I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot of this, that, and a lot of reading, self-help books and business books, to be honest with you.
Yeah, for sure. That's amazing. I'm glad that you're seeing the progress and you're seeing the traction pick up. You touched on a lot of things there. I kind of just wanted to go back to the beginning. Yeah. Obviously, you transitioned from being a chef to working in the nutrition space. So, and you mentioned as well that, like, you had to read a lot of books and things like that. So can you kind of give us some of the tips that the steps that you took as you were preparing for that transition? Because a lot of people like to transition out of traditional jobs to different fields, and they don't know how to prepare in that phase, right? So can you kind of give us some tips and some of the things that you worked on?
Yeah, so when I moved from Chester to Liverpool, I worked in a healthy restaurant, working for an MMA fighter. So my nutrition, my cooking side of things was there. And then that's where I started blending into the nutrition side of things and actually understanding why they need the food.
Right.
So when I started working with Paul, and I started understanding, wait a minute, these fighters need this because of this. And then that's when it started. I was intrigued into knowing the science behind it, because I knew enough about which foods goes with what and this, that, and the other. And then to go behind the scenes and really understand, right, too much sodium holds on water, so less sodium come fight week, and try to little bits like that. And it was And I started doing courses. As I say, I've done a few online courses and more in depth about nutrition. And obviously having having a conversation with fighters as well about their nutrition, what they know about things, because a lot of fighters are just given a meal and told to eat it, and they don't really understand why they're eating that and the aftermath or the buff, like if they're before training, so why they need, so they just think, right, I need it for energy. But there's a lot of different reasons for them to have that food, not just of energy as well. Do you mean muscle replenishments as well?
Sure.
So I just found it really intriguing, to be honest with you. And obviously I love cooking as well, and then I loved MMA and boxing. Started off with boxing, then went into MMA, and then it just brings everything. And when you enjoy your work, it's not work, is it?
Exactly.
It's a hobby that you get paid for. And when you enjoy it, you provide a better service, because you don't. If I was stuck, and this is no digs against someone who's in an office job now, but if I was in an office job, it wouldn't suit me, because I have to be on the go, sort of thing.
Right.
And I wouldn't be happy, sort of thing. And some people will stay unhappy in a job just because it brings good money, but I'd rather earn a little bit less and enjoy my life, enjoy what I'm doing, and really enjoy give a service with a smile. I mean, it's I think that goes further, especially in the long run. If you can continue a good service over a period of time, it's gonna be better than, yeah. I just couldn't imagine being sat in an office and no, mm-hmm. I need to talk to people, I need to be active, I need to, I mean, I couldn't. If I was locked in an office and I couldn't go and have a cup of tea over there with so-and-so and have a chat about the fights over the weekend or something, do we?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, go ahead, Tristan.
Well, and to that point, we can't even do it. We worked office jobs and we can't even do that anymore since we're working from home now. So it's like, who am I talking to?
Yeah. We both lived that life, and like, that's exactly how I felt. What did you say, sorry?
I just said, give me WhatsApp. I'll talk to both of you.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Exactly. After this, don't worry. 100%.
Yeah. So, yeah, the one thing I wanted to follow up with is, in terms of, obviously, you've had to do a lot of your work virtually, right? So tell me how you've been able to meet clients' goals. Let's just say, for example, Sheriston, he's an MMA fighter, right? He's saying that, hey, I want to have my peak performance. I want to meet my weight contractually for who I'm going to fight against. So that's one side of things, right? And how you deal with those, because it's like high performance and they're trying to meet their weight goals. But then you have the regular client side of goals who just says, hey, I don't feel healthy. I want to lose some weight. I want to cut some pounds, blah, blah, blah. And then you're trying to meet those goals. So first, how do you like balance the two? Because they kind of have different needs. And then second, how are you doing this remotely? Like, how are you working with your clients and making sure that they're actually meeting their goals?
So it's a difficult one with the athletes. I tend to see what they normally eat, see what the daily structure is like, because no fighter, or let's say, as you say, an MMA fighter, okay, so he trains twice a day, one in the morning, one night. Say he trains half 10 till 1, and then 4 till 7 or whatever, like that. They train a good five, six hours a day.
Right.
But in between them times, you don't want to be at home cooking your meals for the day or whatever. You just want something quick that you can eat, done. Sort of thing. Or you'd have someone to do it for you, sort of thing, a meal prep company. So sometimes I get in contact with meal prep companies and be like, right, so these are the macros that need to be hit. So the food that needs to be weighed out are this, 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 and this. And that's what they need to eat on this day, and this day. And then you speak to the clients, to the fighter, and you're like, so before training, you eat that. You have your whatever extra. And then after training, within a space of an hour, I want you to eat this. Before training the next time, I want you to eat. I mean, so it can go that way, obviously. When I worked with Darren, I was cooking the food as well. So I'd cook the food, take it down to the gym. Same with Tom as well. I'd cook the food, go down to the gym, and I'd assess their training schedule and their training intensity. So the more intense the training, the more replenishments of the muscles. So they'd need more carbs, they'd need more food, basically. So a lot of that was it was a lot of learning and a lot of questions to ask. I was in contact with a lot of good nutritionists that were in the UFC. So I was in contact with them and asking them, as what would you do in this situation? What do you mean? Because the worst can happen is they're going to go, I'm not going to tell you. I mean, that's generally the worst they can say is, I'm not telling you. You should know. And you're going to go, all right, well, I'll do my own research sort of thing if I'm not too sure. But to be fair, everyone's with open arms, like, oh, this is how we do this, this is how we do this, and help me out, to be fair. And with a regular client, if you like, normal, someone who just wants to lose weight, it'd be a lot easier, but it's more discipline and not motivation sort of thing. So on the days where they think that they're going to break down and eat loads of chocolate is the days where you just need to reassure them, say, listen, have a chocolate, it's okay. Doing it, it's, you're not going to self-sabotage by having one chocolate. It's what happens when you cut it all out for 2 weeks and then you have 10, 12 packs of biscuits at one go, and then that's where you just throw it out the window then. So it's adapting, really. I mean, you've the professionalism as well in adaption. And with a regular client as well, it's a little easier to manage. Obviously not as sport specific, so it's a little bit easier to manage, and it's not as they don't have to be as such a certain macros and timings and stuff like that. Staying in a deficit, they'll be doing they will lose weight sort of thing. But with a MMA fighter, they're more likely to want to lose a certain amount a week. So you've got to work backwards sort of thing. So say now someone's fighting at 185 and they start at 205. So you need to work out each week how much they should be losing, work out the food backwards and work out exact calories. So it can be a bit more, it can take a lot longer to work with an athlete. The rewards of it as well, seeing them make weight on scales and stuff like that on a big screen, it's rewarding, to be fair with you.
No, 100%. Yeah. So I was going to ask, sorry, just to follow up before Sherston goes. So from my understanding is with the athletes, you've been working with them kind of in person, right? You're doing the cooking and then you're going to them and you're actually giving them the food that they require before training or after training and stuff like that. And then for the regular customers, the regular people that want to lose weight, are you doing the same? Are you cooking for them or are you just telling them what to eat?
No. So that I work a lot with, work a lot through an app, so it works through their MyFitnessPal as well, so I can see, so I can give them like a loads of recipes, I've got stuff like this, so little recipes. Oh, you can't see the screen.
Yeah,
it's a little recipes like that. For some reason I think the green screen went mad there.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah,
little recipe books thing. Give them little options to consider, because if I restrict them from what they can eat, they're more than likely to crave it. So if you just have it in moderation, it's much easier to deal with, to be honest with you. So I work with them more within their calories. I give them a target of protein to hit, and then the macros between carbs and fats, they're pretty much, I mean, they fill in themselves, to be fair with you. Unless they need a bit more attention to it, then a lot of Zoom calls as well, a lot of Zoom FaceTimes, WhatsApps, because obviously you can't work with them face to face. So a lot of it is just Zoom, I mean, home workouts and stuff like that, which it's not ideal. And it's a strange one because, I want to be there making sure, because if someone's got a sore shoulder, for example, you want to be assessing to make sure movements. But if I'm like this, you don't know how sore it is from there. So I could be staying there sore just to miss doing burpees. it's different. But it's been good because I think people are starting to understand. But we're living in, and what we're living in now, and what adaption we've had to take, sort of thing. And without adapting, you're never going to get far, are you? So,
yeah, for sure. I like that you touched on the fact about moderation and kind of keeping your clients kind of mentally in the game, because obviously sometimes you let up and you need to, you just need to, you know, you need to have your cravings every now and then. But on that note, I sent a picture in the chat. I don't know if you guys can see that. But this is Darren Till as quarantine started. And he posted a picture of him just like smashing a bunch of candy. And he was like, screw my workout, screw it. So obviously he's joking and he's just, you know, he didn't have any fight scheduled. So he's just hanging out. But I wanted to ask you about that. Like, are you keeping up with your clients on social media just to make sure that, like, you know, they're staying on top of everything or anything like that?
So that photo was a week before I first met Darren properly.
Beautiful.
So you don't want to attach your name to that?
he got it out of a system before he saw you.
So if you want to go, I think if you scroll up a little bit on there, you'll see a before and after photo.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was me.
I love it.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, it was one of them. But yeah. The way I see it, I wouldn't ask any of my clients to do anything I wouldn't do myself.
Right.
So if there's a football game on Saturday night or the UFC, bear in mind we've had it quite good last couple of weeks where we've had good time zones. Do I mean I'd sit there and have a beer watching the UFC? Yeah. Do I mean it's what normal people do and what people should do. Mm. Middle of January. If I want a beer, I'm going to have a beer sort of thing. If I want to have a takeaway, we'll have a takeaway.
Right.
I would never, and if I see a client post their takeaway on social media, I'll ask him, did you enjoy it? Was it good?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, oh, you, how dare you do that? I'm like, enjoy yourself. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's because I don't get people who like, oh, I'm not allowed to eat this. I'm like, and people call it cheat days or treat meals and all this. It's not, because if you're going to order, let's say we're all on a cheat day, okay, or a cheat meal. We're going to order a pizza. That pizza soon becomes a pizza, garlic bread, wedges, popcorn, chicken, an extra large garlic bread in the end, and then a large bottle of Coke. But if you just said, right, I'm going to have a pizza. You're going to probably have a pizza and maybe a popcorn chicken.
Yeah.
But in the mind frame of it's a cheat meal, people tend to overdo it. And that's where the snowball effect starts. Because I've self-sabotaged. I'll start again on Monday. It's only Tuesday. I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. My next question is going to be about scaling, right? So like you had mentioned, you want to reach like 100 people by the end of this year, hopefully, and maybe even surpass that goal. But how would you be able to do that? Because obviously, if there's going to be a lot of one-on-one coaching and stuff like that, then you kind of have to do a lot of your stuff hands-off, right? Because you're a one-man band right now, unless like you expand the business to get other people to work with you. Like, how do you plan on doing that? Are you going to plan to do it all like digitally, like remotely, to say like, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. You pay us, but this is as far as our support goes. Or are you going to do more like, you know, personal work remotely, and then maybe increase like your staff? Like, how do you plan on doing it?
So at the moment, it's just me, and I've not got any plans at the moment to employ anyone, anything like that. And until I know that I'm in I've got a solid foundation, and then we go from there sort of thing. But it can come, I've obviously got a few things in line in digital products that I can do that will get like a group. So you're helping in the digital product, you're not just helping one person, you're helping a group of 20 possibly.
Right.
So you might get 17 out of 20. So if you get 5 groups a year, well, you're not far from your goal then without having to do your one-to-ones in general. So that's one way of doing it. But I also believe that I just need to work hard and just keep at it, because at the moment I think I'm doing okay and I'm happy with them. I'm doing it. I've only got 3 or 4 spaces left on my online coaching for now.
Wow.
So I'm limiting myself as well, because I could easily say, right, I can take another 20 on, but that's not fair on the current clients who might not get my as much of my time. So I'd rather limit it. And then if one or two drop off, I come to the end of the 12 weeks or 3 months, or whatever, then there'll be space for someone else. But until then, I'm not going to overdo myself, because I'd rather not hit the target, but everybody get results, than try and get this result and not everyone doing it. I'd rather be below and make sure everyone's satisfied, to be honest with you.
For sure. I had a quick question about you kind of working virtually. Obviously, especially anything fitness related and food related, you want to be in person. But just with everything that's happened right now, do you find that now that the norm has shifted to virtual, even though it's not ideal in this space, do you think there's some room to kind of expand your user base this way? Because like being virtual, you probably wouldn't be able to, before COVID, you probably wouldn't be, you know, your target audience would be within London. But like now that you're virtual, you can probably even hit up Asher in Korea. You can hit me up in Toronto and like, you know, manage our diets and things like that. So is that more of an opportunity now for you to kind of just expand your clientele?
100%. As I say, I've got clients in New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, America. So I would not have had them face to face. I mean, right. Not a chance. But it also frees up a lot of time as well. So let's say I put a Zoom call to all my clients, and let's just hypothetically say I had 30 clients. Let's say I've got 30 clients, and I've got 1 hour Zoom call with 30 clients. Can you imagine doing that face to face with 30 clients? Yeah. It'd be 30 hours of your time. But right. When virtually you like this, I think it's brilliant. And one's looking at the positives from it, you could, and everyone is there to, and you've got everyone's attention because you're only there for an hour, sort of thing. So that side of things, I think it's brilliant. And it brings everyone together as well. People are like, oh, I didn't know so-and-so was there. And I didn't know. I mean, it brings people together, and they feel a bit like if anyone's got questions, maybe you might have a question that Asher would be a bit too scared to ask me personally. And then, it's good in that sense that people might not have asked the question, but someone else asks over them and sort of thing. And it's good. There's definitely benefits from the virtual side, but I do prefer the one-to-one because it's more of a service then, isn't it? I mean, if there's an issue, if there's a problem, you've got to put it down and everything can be done properly.
That's lovely, fair.
But on the other side of things, you put a lot of trust into the clients as well. I'm not there to weigh them, so I can't see. They might be lying about their weight.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I've heard of, not my team, by the way, I've heard of some clients taking old photos and as progress photos. So they were putting their old photos back up.
Yeah.
And one of the PTs was like a bit suspicious once because the painting on the back of the wall had changed.
Yeah.
And then it got back the next week to the original painting, and it was like,
it's like, why are you switching the paintings, man?
but it was like a really old photo, like 2014, 2015 photo. Just to try as I said to all my clients, be honest. If we gain a pound, we gain a pound. If we lose two, we lose two.
You're only fooling yourself.
Of course, and there's a lot of people doing it at the moment. I mean, you'll see a lot of, I hate saying the word influencers, but you see them everywhere. Like 90% of the photos are airbrushed and filtered, if you walk past a Ferrari, you're gonna walk past it and not really think twice about it, are you? But people see social media and they see someone with half a good body or something. I go, oh, I want to be like that. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the influencer V Shred? I think his name is V Shred. Like this guy, he always pops up in Instagram stories and he's like, are you meeting your nutrition goals? It's like, have you ever like worked out on a treadmill for like 2 hours and then not lost weight because you've been doing it wrong? Like he's like this white guy with like nice hair. I think it's called V-Shred and stuff. And I know you guys have seen like his Instagram stories and stuff. Like, yeah. But I just thought it was funny because you're mentioning influencers and stuff like that. And like he popped up in my head. I was just like, oh, I remember seeing this guy so many times. Or maybe it's just me because I'm the one that needs to lose weight. I don't know. But have you guys seen his stuff before?
I haven't seen him specifically, but I do have, I don't know his name, but I have a different guy that I get before every YouTube video. And I'm just like, dude, I get it. I'm out of shape.
Yeah, this guy always pops up on my Instagram stories. He's like, yeah, you can lose weight, you can do this and blah blah blah. I'm like, yeah man, shut up.
Get him. I mean,
yeah,
the way I see it, they're trying to run a business as well,
right? So
I do feel sometimes, and you know, I mean, there's some people out there selling fad products at the moment, and it is doing my head in.
Yeah.
They've not got a qualification put together to be selling these sort of products. Do you know what I mean? It's annoying me. Do you mean, because I honestly, if you go onto my Instagram, you'll see that I preach about stop buying these fad products. You don't need them. You don't really need them. And then people will message me saying, do you want to earn 10K from homes this month? And I'm like, what do you mean? Where's that coming from? Do you want to sell my liquid fat burners? I'm like, no, not one bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's misleading people and it's not fair. And it annoys me, really does annoy me. And it's one thing that I say you'll see on my Instagram I preach a lot about is liquid fat burners and people selling ketones, which... it's dangerous, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's passed all this stuff because it shouldn't even be passed in the first place to be able to sell.
Right. Sorry, go ahead.
Hopefully you remember your question. I was just going to ask in terms of you were on a TV show recently, right? Like on some South African TV broadcast. Am I correct with that?
On the radio station, yeah.
Oh, radio, yeah. So what was that about and how did that go?
So I work with... one of the South Africa rugby players. I work with his wife as well. So he plays for Leicester Tigers. And then obviously he mentioned that he works with me. So they wanted to get me on and just the question that I was asked was, how do I get rid of my festive flab? Because the producer had obviously put a few pounds on over Christmas on it. So we just discussed and I just mentioned, obviously, get your steps in, drink your water, and be in a calorie deficit. I mean, you don't have to work out every day to lose weight. The days you don't work out, just eat a little bit less. And I know it sounds really obvious, and people be like, "Oh, that's not." It is. It is. It's science. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's energy balance. And yeah, it was good. It was a bit of a strange one being on a radio station.
Mm.
Because I was on the phone, not I couldn't visually see it. So,
right,
I quite like seeing who I'm talking to, sort of thing. So,
yeah, for sure, I like that though. Festive flab. I haven't heard that phrase before.
I wasn't too sure what to say back because I weren't too sure. Just weren't too sure what the political rules are over there. So, let's be careful what I was saying.
For sure. Yeah. So, one question I had with you working in the health space, working virtually. There's a lot of competition, and you touched on it. There's influencers. There's a lot of competition in that fitness space, right? Whether they're selling you some protein product or they're selling you a diet plan or a workout plan or whatever that is. So can you give some tips on how to manage that? Because on one hand, you obviously have there's a lot of saturation, so you want to get through the noise and actually show that you're adding value to your clients. And also on the flip side, I don't know if this is true for you, but I'm sure there's a lot of influencers that kind of contradict each other, and then that becomes issue. You know what I mean? So it's like, how do you kind of manage that and get through that, just to kind of obviously help your clients and also help your brand?
Honestly, be honest, call their bullshit and be honest about it. And you'll see some influencers, they slip up on their own bullshit, which is, I mean, it's happened a few times where people have posted in the caption what the producers have told them to post, sort of thing. So at this time, please post this to us, and you know, like they copied the whole message. I mean, they've been found out. And I think people are slowly clicking onto it as well. I hope. But I honestly just call them out straight away. So I'm just grab my flip off, call him out on it, to be honest here, and be yourself. I know a lot of people are trying to be like other people that want to do this, like so-and-so. People will know. People know if you're being authentic or not. And I found that myself because I was a bit like, a bit nervous of putting myself on live on camera.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I went live on Facebook, I was like, what if someone watches me? But that's what they're there to do. I mean, people are there to... And I remember asking my girlfriend, I was like, can you do me a favor on my next live? Can you ask me these questions? And I'll like, so I could answer some sort of questions and just have a bit of back and forth sort of thing. And I remember messaging a couple of mates, like, oh, do me a favor, get on my live tonight and ask me these questions. So, I mean, you've got to start somewhere.
Right.
You're a small fish in a big pond. That's the way I see it. It's not about, I'd rather have 500 followers and 300 clients than have 700,000 followers and 200 clients. Because my ratio would be much better, much greater than theirs. I'd rather have less following, but more in. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather that side of things, because you're not going to buy dinner with the likes, are you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's good for the ego. It's good to have like I posted a reel this morning of me doing a TikTok.
I saw that. Yeah.
And listen, it was funny. It was just something non-food related, non-fitness related. It was just something bit of banter on a Wednesday mornings, basically. And
you got to mix it up a little bit, you know?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I'm an idiot sort of thing. Like, all my clients know me. I'm a bit of an idiot sort of thing. So putting that out there sometimes is quite difficult because people come across like, oh, he's arrogant, he's a prick, he's this, that. And it's what people are like. I mean, they don't see the real you unless you put the real you out there, because I could easily mask it up and be over the top and do stuff that I wouldn't normally do day to day life. But like today I was messing about around the house and I did it again. And like your girlfriend was telling me to pack it in sort of thing. Cause I stood in front of the TV, kept putting my hood on and flicking it over.
You don't want to lose too many clients now.
But, you know, they see it as me as well. When I'm on lives and stuff like that, you can see straight through people if people actually know the stuff. Like, I've had people ask me questions that I've not got a clue of the answer, and instead of just saying I come up with a lie, I've just gone, I don't know, mate. But I'll tell you what, I'll go and reach out to someone who does know, and I'll get back to you with the answer, because I'm not going to lie to them and say, oh, it's this, that, and the other, and try and catch myself out. Because you can, this day and age, if you get caught out on lying or something like that, you're going to be known for it. So it's not worth it. It's really not worth sabotaging your business, because I can only just imagine one slip up can ruin
someone's image.
Of course. And you just think the hours that I've put in personally, I'd be devastated if something was to come up on something like that.
For sure.
Yeah, man. Like you said, your Instagram has been growing. You've been seeing more clients. You've been seeing more success online. And I wish you all the best. I think that's pretty much it for me, Sherson. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, man. I'm good. I haven't seen your reel, so I'm gonna go check it out right now. But hopefully you're able to kind of grow your clientele and move forward with this and keep going, man. Because I love what you're doing and I love your mentality. And I think that's what's gonna keep you going.
Thank you very much. As I say, one thing I've noticed, and I don't know about you two, but I've unfollowed a lot of toxic people, negative people, like, bear in mind, and I've opened up some of them being my friends.
Yeah.
Posting statuses on Facebook about this, that, and the other. Like, no, I mean, I don't want to see it. And I've followed people who I look and go, do you know what? Yeah, that's good, that. And you wake up in the morning and see their story and like quite funny and laugh, and you're like, you're just happy, aren't you?
Yeah. It's a concept of like a mental diet, right? Like what you take in visually is still affecting you. Like, I'm with you on that. I had to unfollow a lot of accounts that just posted negative things all day, and it's like, it doesn't, if it's not about me, but just reading it puts you in that mood, and it's like, why am I angry right now? I don't even know.
Same as watching the news. I've caught myself watch the news for an hour.
Yep.
And I'm so annoyed when I put that TV on.
It'll kill your soul. You do not watch CNN or all this stuff. Like, I mean, now it may not be as bad. I'm not gonna get into politics, but still, yes. Oh yeah. Watching the news, I remember, especially at the height of COVID, it was bad. So
yeah, and yesterday our headline was 100,000 COVID deaths. Why is that a headline?
Yeah. So what am I supposed to do? But I'm already doing everything you're telling me to do.
Can we just smile that Lampard got sacked or something?
Sensationalism. That's why. You gotta get the clicks, yeah. Man.
And I think the media need to have a real think about the effects of all this as well. But as you say, we're not going to go into the politics of things.
Yeah.
For sure. Hey, man.
All right, man.
Thank you for all the feedback, and I'm going to take you up on that offer, man. I'm going to follow you, and we're going to be messaging you every. I don't know about Asher, but I'm probably going to be messaging you every now and then, just to be like, "Hey, man, just yell at me for 10 minutes, so I can, stop doing eating all this junk."
I'll say anytime. Let me know, and it'll be good to speak to you again soon.
100%. We're going to have you on the podcast in the future. So thank you for your time, Gathan. We'll catch you guys later. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. Please give us a follow on Instagram and subscribe to us on YouTube. Details are in the description of this episode. We'll see you on the next episode.